Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, Dr. Price, it is another great day on the one and only Paula Price Show. How are you doing today?
I am excited, and you're right. It is a great day. And you know what else, Ashley? It is not only a great day, but we've got great things happening in our world, not only in the world, but in the Paula Price PPM global world. So this is going to be a great show today. I want to welcome everybody who called in and our regular listeners. Again, I'll tell you, I appreciate you all. It means a lot to have you as part of our family. You know, I always think family, and if you've been listening to the show, you surely know why I keep saying family, because that's who we are in Jesus Christ, and so it's powerful. We have a lot planned today. I want to do things just a little bit differently. The first thing I want to tell you is that we are going to have several guests on today, and you'll hear us talk about my brand new book. I've been telling you for the last several months that I was working on a very unique book, one that I feel and have been told is likely to be quite controversial. Certainly it will be challenging to the saint as well as the person who is not Christian or the atheist. It's a challenging book. So I'm delighted in writing it. Well, we're getting it ready for release. I think we've been telling you it's going to be released at our event, at our forum this year. And so in order to do it, we had a few people read it just to get a feel, get the temperature of the book and kind of hear some feedback on it from people who have not really follow how I teach this and some who did. So what you're going to hear today is I discuss with Prophet Ashley and my chief prophet, Tyler Price, as well as my guest. We're going to talk a little bit about the book, Before the Garden. If you are on my Facebook fan page, you've been hearing me or reading me discuss it a little bit. I've been giving you little tidbits, and I told you that I was tying it to my experience because often people want to know, how did I get to be who I am? How did I get to be an author? How did I get to be this kind of author? Where did the wisdom come from that I share with you every week in my prayers and my counsel and my prophecies? People want to know. And so Before the Garden, I think, and perhaps Ashley has a different perspective, but Before the Garden, God's eternal continuum, I think is probably the consummate or at least the aggregate of what God has taught me, revealed to me, what I've researched, studied, and practiced to date over a 32-year ministry. Sometimes when I say it, I almost want to cough. 32 years, my goodness, God, where'd that go? How'd that happen? So today you get to listen in on those, but you also get to ask questions. So we're going to open the phone lines up a little earlier this week so that you can speak into what you're hearing about the book. If you're on my Facebook page, I definitely want to hear your feedback about the book. Now let me just tell you, because you know family, we know each other. We've been together for a little bit now. When I open the phones at this time, it is for this discussion. Your prayers, your questions, and everything else come later. You know, just put yourself back in queue, and we'll handle that later. So we want to stay on topic and stay on point. If you veer off, you're going to find that you are accidentally dropped, and I don't want that to happen to you. So let's stay on topic. I need to hear from you, but I want to stay on this subject. So we're going to talk to that several people, several guests. They're going to introduce themselves. But before we get to that, just to get some business out of the way, I think, Prophet Ashley, after your comments, I know you have a few, then we'll go right to Prophet Adia.
All right. Well, Dr. Price, I'm excited about the release of the book. It's like finally the baby is here and coming home. And it's been definitely a genuine labor for you to work on this and produce it, but worth every second. I can't wait to read it myself because of the richness of it, the level of education that you bring, the succinctness of your revelation. But still the depth of your revelation. We always talk about how tight you are in your writing, and you don't waste words, which means that when we get a thick book from you, Dr. Price, it is very full. So I am excited to get a meaty book that I can sink my teeth into time and time again, over and over. In reading the preface, just looking at the list of topics that you address, is so amazing to me how you have taken, this is like a life's work to me for you. You've taken years and years of research, kind of like you did with the Prophet's Dictionary, and pulled that same kind of concept into Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. How you were pulling from your research on eternity and pulling from your research on the earth and pulling from your research even in science and some other things and angels and whatever the case may be, and finding a way to put that into one book and to have cohesive thoughts as only you can do, and to really bring forth that revelation on the prophet, on the Holy Spirit. So this book is for the everyday Christian. It is for the regular guy, the high thinker, the new convert. If you want to know why you got saved, I highly recommend you read this book, because you're going to find out what this is really all about. And if you want to know what is there besides what I'm hearing in the pulpit on Sunday, I mean, I always love thinking, Dr. Price, there are 66 books in the Bible. We don't have anywhere near the sermons and messages to reflect that many books in the Bible. And so this book really cracks open some of the questions that you never knew you had, and that's what I can't wait to discover, the questions I never knew I had.
Well, I tell you what, I think that that pretty much sums it up, and so I cannot wait for us to go forward with this. It's going to be a very good show. We will be taking calls. We will be praying for you. Do not set aside your prayer request. When she says, hey, we're ready for calls, jump on that line. So you can get in, because many times you say to me, I've been trying for several weeks, but you have to jump on that line, because we do take the calls pretty much as they roll in. You know, we're not picking and choosing our favorite friends, so if you think that, dismiss that idea. We don't have any favorite friends, because you're all my favorites, and you're all my friends, and you're all my family. So we're interested in serving you and ministering to you. So is Prophet Adia prepared?
She is.
I am. Good morning. Good morning, Paula Price Show family. Welcome to this week's show. It's going to be exciting. You're going to hear so many good things about this book, Before the Garden. So make sure you stay on the line so that you can get all of the details for why you want to pre-order this book and get your copy as soon as possible. So we're so excited. Just want to let you know a few announcements and, of course, how you can stay in touch with the Paula Price Show after today's program. So first things first, we want you to find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. Just want to make sure that you look Dr. Price up on Facebook. Dr. Price blogs every morning about what thus says the Lord. So you don't want to miss that. Facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. That's where you can find her there. You can also find us on Twitter.com. Again, Twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price. We're on Twitter as well, and we usually do live tweets during the Paula Price Show. So make sure you look Dr. Price up on Twitter. Listen, follow us everywhere, because you do not want to miss out on anything that Dr. Price is releasing and saying. And also, you don't want to miss out on the announcements about our new books, our new products, events, and everything that's related to Paula Price Ministry. So make sure you check us out, Facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price, and also Twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price. Go to www.drpaulaprice.com, and you can actually access everything from one place. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. You can click that there. You can also listen to past Paula Price shows on drpaulaprice.com. Some of you didn't know that, but we have a Blog Talk Radio section, if you will, on the homepage that has the audience from the previous programs. We also have video on that homepage, how you can get in touch with events. You can join our mailing list, sign up for classes, everything that you need. Take your assessment. DrPaulaPrice.com can lead you to everything that you need to do. So if Dr. Price recommends anything to you today, visit us on DrPaulaPrice.com. Make sure you click to join our mailing list. We want to make sure that we can send you the emails for where Dr. Price is going to be, all the information about our events, And also, again, our new releases. If you're interested in getting that Before the Garden information, be sure that you join our mailing list. We'll be mailing out all the details on how you can pre-order Before the Garden. So make sure you do that, drpaulaprice.com. All right, coming up in 1 week, we have been announcing this for months. We are getting so excited here. The PPM Global team, we're working feverishly to get this ready for you guys. We cannot wait. The prophets are coming into town. The prophets forum, the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, is next Thursday. It kicks off actually next Wednesday night for orientation at 7:30. And then we're going to roll right into the event Thursday morning. The first session starts bright and early at 8 o'clock a.m. on Thursday, the 19th of June. Listen, you can still come join us. It is not too late. Go to drpaulaprice.com, click that events page, and click I'm registering now. We want to see you right here in Tulsa with us. I tell you what, it's going to be some kind of prophet's party here in Tulsa. You're not going to want to miss it. You don't want to be on the line afterward and say to yourself, I just wish I would have stretched to make it to that event. Listen, stretch now. Pull it in. Get your ticket. Come on and see us. Get your rental car. Drive up to Tulsa if you have to. The 19th through the 21st kicks off next week, the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Again, all that you need to know, drpaulaprice.com, and you can register yourself. And register a friend, too. Why not? Bring a friend with you. It's going to be a powerful, powerful time at the Tulsa Prophetic Forum next week. You can still take your assessment. Just want to let you know about the few sales that we have. You can actually still take your assessment and save money on your assessment if you sign up for your assessment before the 15th of June. That's just a few days away, so don't miss that sale as well. Take your assessment before June 15th and save. We're offering now $25 off of our profits assessment, $15 off of our minister's assessment. If you've heard Dr. Price talk about those assessments and you're on the line, you're saying, I know that's me. I know I need to identify my purpose. I know I need to plug in to who I am called to be. Then don't miss this. Up until the 15th of June, take it and save. Again, you can catch us on drpaulaprice.com to take that assessment, or you can visit us at ppmglobalresources.com to take your assessment, and all the details will be there as well. We don't want you to miss out on some of the powerful things that are going on, so make sure that you connect with us. Last but certainly never least, I want to let you know that you can support the Paula Price Show program. We love our supporters. I just want to say it again. We love you, our supporters. We thank you so much for all that you do to keep the Paula Price Show moving and taking ground. So we thank you for that. And if you're listening on the line and you've been a long-time listener of the program, can I invite you today to support the show? You can actually visit us at drpaulaprice.com to find out how you can be a support to the Paula Price Show, or email us. Shoot us an email. You can email us at admin, so it's short for administration or administrator, admin@ppmglobalresources.com. Say, I want to support the show. Just tell me how I need to do it, and we'll make sure that you get all the information. But we want to invite you today to be a supporter of this powerful program. We're changing lives one prayer at a time. The wisdom that comes forth from the show literally is out of this world. So we want to make sure that we can continue to bring you quality programming, and your support helps us to do that. So if you're on the line listening to the sound of my voice today, please, I invite you to be a supporter of the Paula Price Show. This is a program like no other, and you get to be a part of that revolution. So join us. You can go to drpaulaprice.com to learn more about how you can support the show. Now, today I'll leave you with this final blessing, and that is, I cannot wait to see you at the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. God bless.
Well, thank you, Prophet Adia. I can't wait to see you either at the forum. We'll look forward to seeing each other there. Dr. Price, back to you. Your first caller is on the line, your first commentator. He has his tight schedule today, but he is on the line ready to tell you and share with you, Dr. Price, what you thought about your book, Before the Garden.
Well, good, because I'm glad. I'm going to say welcome, John. I'm going to ask you to briefly introduce yourself to our audience. We do have a nice audience in the afternoon, and also for those of you who say I can't be with the whole show, remember you can go back to Blog Talk and re-listen to this show and all of the other ones. Anyway, I want to introduce you to John Swales, and he's on the line because I asked him, as one of the others, to do a little peek, just do a little sneak preview of the book, and I'm asking him to tell you today what he got from the sneak preview that we gave him. He's going to tell you what it means to him, and maybe he'll share with us what he sees as the value of having a book like Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum, come out in the body of Christ, in the world at this time. So, John, welcome. Tell us a little bit about you and then share your thoughts.
Thank you, Dr. Price. Thank you for having me on your show. It's a real honor to be able to speak with you today. I've been tremendously blessed by your ministry over the years, and especially where this book is concerned, it's a great honor. The concept that God has always been, is an eternal being, is a very difficult concept for the mind, but I think it's very important. And one of the things that really stood out to me as I was reading Before the Garden was this idea that, you know, we're caught up in a grand plan that we only really get snippets of, that, you know, we're caught up in this grand adventure, and God is doing things that, you know, he gives us little pieces of. But in this book, this is the first book I think that I've ever seen that really captures this idea, the continuum, and I think that word was very well chosen, because I think that so many times our enemy keeps people focused, even good Christians, on a very limited scope perspective of the world around them without realizing that there have been a lot of people that have come before them. The stories in the Bible are not just stories. They are examples of how God takes imperfect people, infuses them with his anointing and his power, and moves them into this continuum, into this grand plan that he is constantly moving forward. Right off the bat, that was the thing that stood out the most to me.
That's powerful. I like the term the grand plan. That's great. I hadn't thought of that, but that's the benefit of having different perspectives share their mind on the work. If you had to encourage someone, John, to say, okay, I'm not that deep a reader, or I am a very deep reader, or, you know what, I really don't know what I feel about God or faith, what would be your statement? I know that you're on a tight clock, so I definitely don't want to overtax your time, but what would be your closing statement to someone who had those ideas or who were considering the book or maybe shying away from it?
I think, you know, I've heard people say this as well, Dr. Price, that, you know, I'm not a deep thinker. Well, I think if you form a relationship with the Almighty and submit yourself to Christ, you're going to be a deep person, because the things that he does in us is always deep. But I think the really great thing that they will experience in this book is rediscovering the mystery. And I don't want to use the word magic, but there's almost a magical quality that God has about him. We see this in so many of the things that David says when he expresses his love for God. There's just something that moves us. And when I read this book, I think what people are going to experience is the eternal God, the God that, yes, he's the God of this world, the God of our bodies. Our bodies are governed by earthly time, but there is coming a time when we won't be governed by that. And I think it could infuse them with a sense of hope for the future. I think it could reintroduce them perhaps. Sometimes I think that when people submit themselves to Christ, they really need to go back and start over. And because one of the things that you've taught me about the prophetic is it's relational. It's a relational experience. It's all about our submission to God and being willing to put ourselves in his hands for his direction. So I would encourage somebody who might see, you know, themselves as not being deep to be open. Be open to what God has for them. And I'm not saying you have to go out and, you know, learn Greek or Hebrew or anything like that, but this book here really could reintroduce them to a God that is waiting on them, that has great things to show them. And, yeah, it's very exciting. It's a very exciting book and concept. I don't think I've ever come across a book quite like it.
Well, you know, John, thank you. You know, you mean so much to me. They don't even know, but you're like one of my hidden sons. But what I like about you, John, is that you are a reader, and you are very well read, very well learned. The subject matter is something that you've tapped in for, I'm assuming, ages, as long as we've talked. So I value your feedback and your input. If you wanted to wrap this up, would there be any statement or comment that you can recall from what you read that you'd like to leave our listeners with? And I know it was a lot.
No. There's. I'll tell you what. Chapter 10, the continuum and the gospel, really stood out to me, and I'll read it right here. Paul in Romans identifies his preaching as being according to the gospel that had been kept secret since the world began. I love this concept, Dr. Price, and you just cut me off now if I start talking because I get excited about this kind of thing. But when I read the word been kept secret since the world began, it really shows us that, yes, there are people that love God, and then there are people that walk with God, and it doesn't have to do with them, you know, having to, you know, go up on some great mountain or anything like that. It really is about their submission to God and their willingness to say, all right, God, I recognize that you're not involved in my plans as much as I am involved in yours. Do with me what you will. I love this concept. And I understand that sometimes it can be scary to new believers. I think this book does a really good job of walking somebody into that. For people who don't know who I am, of course, I'm in the military and have spent some time in military intelligence. And one of the things about military intelligence is if you can keep people from recognizing where they are and what they're a part of, you can pretty much strangle their potential. And I believe that as I read this book, I became very aware that I believe the enemy tries to keep people focused on what I call a limited scope perspective. They don't know where they are. It's like putting a soldier out in the middle of the woods and taking away his compass and his map. It's a very scary feeling. You don't know where you are. You don't know why you're there. And I believe that a book like this combined with the Word of God is like giving somebody not only the compass, but I believe that this book could be like a map, if you will. And that's a very comforting thing. Ask any soldier who's been lost in the woods. Once you have your compass, once you have your map, and you can find where you are on that map, there's a tremendous sense of comfort that comes. And I would like to use the word empowerment, because it may not seem familiar, but you at least know where you're going, and you know what you're a part of. And I suppose if I was going to close this out, Dr. Price, that was what I would leave with people who are listening, people who, in my opinion, need to go out and pre-order this book right now, is this can serve as a map. Combined with the Word of God, it can have a tremendous effect on their life and perhaps give them that feeling that every soldier wants when he's in the woods is, okay, I'm not lost anymore. I know where I'm going. And 'cause the compass alone, it's not that the compass is not enough. I wouldn't say that. But having something to show you, hey, this is where you are in the grand scheme, in the grand thematic element of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is where you are, and this is how you can play a part. And I think for anybody feeling like they're a part of something bigger than themselves and that they have an important part to play, I think that would be very empowering and very exciting.
Wow. Well, I tell you, that is empowering. What you said to me, I'm empowered just realizing about the compass and the map, you know, because that compass is going to tell you where you are, but that map will help you find out where you want to be or ought to be, and we need them both, because sometimes people know I'm saved. That's the compass. I'm saved in Jesus Christ, but where I'm going, I don't know, which is why we are stuck with these purpose and destiny quests that can't let us go. John, I want to thank you so much for taking time to speak to us today about it. Wish you the very best, and of course, we will reconnect again soon. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Price.
Whew, Ashley, was that not amazing? That was wonderful.
That was wonderful. And having the perspective of someone from his career field, as well as his experiences even with other languages and other countries, really does give and do justice to what you are writing about, because you are writing from the intelligence network of God and not just the devotional experience. So that was wonderful.
Amen. I enjoyed it. Well, I'm also going to have this chat today with my chief prophet, Prophet Tyler Price. I'm sure she's on the line. And you know, she's one of my greatest champions. You know, if anybody asked me, you know, who would I say is my greatest champion in this entire venture, hard to believe that it turns out to be my daughter, but it is. She has taken, and I'd love for you to tell her story, because she's part of the reason, I think a very significant part of the reason why Before the Garden became a book. So I want to say to you, are you on the line?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I do want us to talk, because I want to hear from Apostle Suzanne. Is she on the line as well yet? Well, I guess you'll let me know. But right
she
now,
is.
I want to, she is. Oh, great. Because
yes.
I want to hear from her. But, you know, Tyler, I want you to tell people how I, in fact, got Before the Garden, because you are the pivotal one to make it happen.
Definitely. You know, I love sharing this story, so I definitely wouldn't mind doing that, because I feel very passionate about this work and its ability to reach the body of Christ with this very in-depth and thorough, comprehensive portrayal of the life of Jesus Christ. So here's a nutshell is what I'm going to do, is try to be abbreviated. Before the Garden goes back to when I was younger. I remember being 19 years old and kind of off to college for my first time and trying to figure out what in the world I was going to believe in for myself once I left the house. You know, you grow up under your parents, you know, covering and their faith in Jesus Christ. But when you do leave and get on your own, you need to establish your own in Jesus Christ and know what you believe and why you believe it, because that's what's going to sustain you. So when I was 19, I remember telling God, I don't know about Christianity playing it out to the end. I mean, we kind of know everything there is. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus went, you know, it's done. You know, so, okay, we got that, and, you know, that's it. That's all there is to the story, and we've already lived that, and it's over. And, of course, the Holy Ghost laughed at me and should have, because he was like, are you kidding? You haven't scratched the surface on anything we're about, okay? And I remember him saying that. I said, okay, well, if you can make the Bible make sense from start to finish, I think I can see this thing through. If someone can take the entirety of the story, 66, almost sometimes non-related, and at times if you look at it with just the naked eye, contradictory book, and connect all these dots and make it work and make it make sense, I think I can see this thing through. You know, being young and dumb, you know, the Lord took me up on that challenge. But moving forward, it did take almost 10 years from that time to get the answer to that question. And you couldn't have told me it would have come out of my own mother, but I should have known, because growing up, I did hear these mysteries and didn't quite get them or understand them at the time. So 10 years later, on a Sunday morning, she gets up to preach Easter sermon, okay, a Resurrection Sunday sermon about why Jesus came to earth. And so she's telling us, you know, there are 14 events that brought Jesus Christ to the planet, and described the reasons why he came and what he's here to do and all of this. And she preached it in about, you know, a good 60, maybe a little over 60 minutes, okay, on a Sunday morning. And I'm sitting there with my jaw dropped, dumbfounded. And I said, I'm looking around the room and everybody's taking notes and, you know, enjoying the whatever. I said, did anybody realize that she just summed up the Bible in 14 events and told us the whole story and connected all of these books together? Who does that? First of all, who finds a theme in Scripture? And then who connects the Bible together to get you to understand why the whole story? from Genesis to Revelation. So, of course, my mouth is open, and I'm, you know, like, oh, my gosh. So after the sermon is over, I'm, you know, I do this to Dr. Price. I just talk her ear straight off, and, you know, she's so sweet. She'll accommodate me, you know, just going on and on about revelations that I get from God or out of the messages that I receive. And so I'm just talking. She's like, oh, that's great. I'm glad that, you know, you got something out and you enjoyed it. I said, God, I don't think she understands what I'm saying or what she just did. And when you're her, you pump out so much revelation on God on so many things, you know, you have to kind of, you know, have a cause for pause to really understand the impact of something, you know, because she just lived out there. And I tell her that all the time. So moving forward, a year after that, I started a Bible study in church, and, you know, we were teaching kingdom citizenship. And I said, look, I feel like if we're going to talk about citizenship and we're going to talk about being a member of God's kingdom, we need to understand how we got the kingdom, where it came from, and why it's here, and who the central people are. I'm going to teach you about these 14 events. Like I knew them all, you know, on the level, but I sure did jump out there. But their faces of the people lit up, and they became so intrigued with this concept of how the kingdom got started and where it came from and how everything began in the beginning with the war in heaven and all of this. And so it just, of course, from there swept through the church. And then we swept Dr. Price up, made her teach this class. And then, of course, I told her, everyone told her, you have got to place it in a book. And that's how we ended up with Before the Garden coming to you today. And I'm so excited about that. I'm so proud of her and her diligence and dedication to God and wanting to bring this revelation to us.
Wow. You know, I have to tell you, I appreciate that story myself, daughter, you know. And the beautiful part about it is that, you know, you being our prophet in the church, you did what you were to do as a prophet, particularly as a chief prophet. You recognized that God had release something in me that I needed to go back and get a bigger bite of. You know, I wanted to give that one sermon and be done. But when we started talking about it, and as I started sharing it, even different ministries that we went to, because I dropped seeds over here, there, once in California, and I think I dropped a little bit in Chicago, maybe a drop in Texas, and you know, so I dropped seeds of it, and all of them kept saying, is this in a book somewhere? And I thought, well, no, why would I put it in a book? You know, it's, you know, 14 events. Well, as I began to dig deeper into what God gave me, and as we taught it, because talking about God wanting to get this out, my goodness, we almost had to put a cap on him at the end of the night. He kept us there all night long because he has a lot to say about how and why he did it and what he did with his son and all of that. So it is wonderful to hear you share that part. If you had to say to you, to our listeners today, Prophet Paula, what would you say to them that is most impactful to this book? Now, I want you to answer from two perspectives, as a Christian and then as a prophet.
Oh, my two favorite things, because you know what? I happen to be both.
No kidding.
That's how it works out.
I read about that.
But yes, definitely, as a Christian, oh my goodness, it revolutionized my Christian faith. It answered the question I wanted to know. How does this make sense? Why everything? Okay, I used to have the same questions. I used to sit at the dining room table and question you all the time, but I don't understand why God had to have a tree in the garden. Why did he trick Adam? Why do we need sin? Why couldn't he wipe it out? If it was all going to be a disaster, it wasn't going to work, we were going to end up here. And all of those kinds of nagging questions, you know, that every believer has, even though you love God and you're into that whole concept of who he is and how he saved your life, but why did he need to, you know, and all of those things that just circle around your mind that people don't talk about on a Sunday morning, you know, which is why I love the title Before the Garden, because after the garden we talk about and we try to piece together from our earthly experience, but before then we don't really discuss the before time began and before the foundation of the world, and yet that's the crux of the story. That's what the catalyst of it all, and if you don't know that, you can't appreciate the salvation you're living now. Which a lot of people struggle with because it's kind of, you know, Swiss cheese, if you will. There's a lot of holes in this story. And so I love, as a Christian, that you went in there and plugged all of those holes for me, plugged all of those gaps. So now I see a congruency in Scripture I didn't see before. Less contradiction and more answers. The Bible literally started when we did this series talking back to itself to me I'm like, whoa, Moses is talking back to Paul, and Paul is talking back to Abraham, and whoa, okay, so this is, okay, so we're getting this, all right, and Jesus Christ, of course, being that central figure that really does tie the whole story together. I mean, we sing and we chant and we preach that it's all about Christ, but you demonstrate that, oh, no, wait, it's all about Christ. And so as a Christian, that C-H-R-I-S-T, that's an important piece to know because that's what makes us who we are. So that's what I would say as a believer. I thank you for that because it's a gift to me. It has revived my love for Scripture. It's not boring, and you know, I have less skip-overs. My Bible study class, if they're listening to this right now, will crack up. I always talk about the pieces of the Bible that we just skip over because we don't understand it. So we just read something really deep. I don't know what that is. Okay, Jesus loves me. And you just keep going. So you just skip over it. But you answer a lot of skip overs, and I love reading it. And I think a lot of believers will go back through their Bible and love reading it again to just make those connections on their own. As a prophet, it's imperative. I mean, we shouldn't even be out here speaking if we don't understand the full testimony of Jesus Christ. I know a lot of prophets who are aware and quote that passage in Revelation 19 a lot, but we don't really know the fullness of what it means. And I think Before the Garden answers that in its entirety, the full testimony of Jesus Christ. You have to know his whole testimony if you're going to rightly represent him in all of his generations and all of the situations that he must face and in all of the positions that he walks in as the eternal God, you know, God as Savior, you know, God as Messiah, God as the prophet, you know, God as the king, the ruler, and you deal with all that in this book. So as prophets, we are validity of prophecy from the testimony of Jesus Christ. But if we don't know that full testimony, then we will also be limited in what we prophesy. It's a great filter. It keeps you out of divination, and it gives us the tools we need to do what prophets exist to do, and that is defend and protect the faith of Jesus Christ, the authenticity of it, the integrity of it, and its purpose in the earth, because we are the watchmen. I think now we have something to truly watch over.
Woo! You know, I tell you, Tyler, if you weren't my daughter, I think I'd have to make you my child. I think I'd have to do that, you know. But you know, what I'd like to do now is bring Apostle Suzanne in because, you know, you were telling me yesterday how she was all fired up from the portions that she got been able to get through so far. So, Apostle Suzanne, welcome to the show. And we're going to ask you to jump right in because we know you're bubbling over, and we're going to give you time to bubble.
Good afternoon, Dr. Price. I'm here in Connecticut, so it's about 12:30 already. And, yes, I am excited. First, I want to say God bless you all. I love you and your team dearly. And my team is coming down to the prophetic forum, so I want to make sure that they show you some love and that you get to know them. Also, thank you very much. It was an honor to be able to read the one chapter that you did allow me to read. Yes, it was more than an appetizer, but it is definitely a setup for more. The one chapter that I read, I almost questioned myself and said, did they pick this one particularly for me? Because the chapter was 14, and it's God's mysteries. And it seems in my apostleship that is exactly where the Lord has me right now, with coming up against doctrines and doctrines of devils and demons. And it's really something that our church is even learning to embrace and to discuss. So when I was able to get this one chapter, you hear me, I'm really pushing. You only gave me one chapter. God's history. It stirred up in me such a flat-footed stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, Dr. Price. I love the Lord. You know, we could give millions of testimonies on what he's done for us, but the problem that's lacking that I notice in the little bit of the kingdom that I do get to see is people do not know their God nor his word. And when it comes time for the Jehovah Witness at the door, we are still ducking and hiding, not because we don't love our God and not because we do not have a testimony of Jesus Christ, but because we do not know our Bibles. And this book here just grew me up to another level, to tap into another dimension and what God is saying to the church. Be assured of who I am. And when you know who he is, you can stand against any wiles. We have got to know our God. And going back in this book, Before the Garden, does just that. The one chapter that I was able to read, I was pacing. And then I said, well, wait a minute, I got to read that again. Because the one paragraph, Dr. Price, for me, one paragraph gave me three different teachings or preachings or understandings or places in the Bible, as my dear chief prophet Tala Price said, to connect Paul back to Moses and Abraham. It is mind-blowing. It is amazing. If I could just touch just for a moment here, there's so much I'd like to read. I mean, one sentence of each page would be a blessing. But one part here, you mentioned mystery, that it defines God's spiritual and ministerial secrets and the best way to use them in his church. So you're strengthening the church. And God, I don't want to babble and I don't want to sound like I'm not sincere, but Dr. Price, if there's nothing your ministry does for anyone, if they read your material, it will give you a stronger stand in the calling and in protecting the kingdom of God, which we all are called to do, no matter what denomination we are in. We are all called to be defenders of the faith. And your material, to the least drop, gives everyone the ability to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this material, when you said in the statement, and it's the best way to use it for his church, you're in strengthening us again, empowering us again. You said, the Lord buried his secrets as resources in human resources. Oh, my God. I'm on my tippy toes in the kitchen right now, Dr. Price. Oh, my God. That all of this is hidden in the earthen vessel of God. How much have we not tapped into? How much understanding of Jesus do we really not have? How long are we gonna duck and dive because we love our Lord and we have our testimonies, but we can't explain anything about it? Everything is so magical and everything is so mysterious, but we don't understand that we have a right to tap into the mystery. In this one page here, I wish I could read the whole thing today, but there's one particular part here where you explain about doctrine in the continuum. And you talked about, oh, Holy Spirit, help me today. You talked about how to tap into these resources and to be able to discern Paul's, the true doctrine, how when Paul was leaving Ephesus, which was a place full of Diana, and he was leaving Timothy in charge. See, I tried to go back because I wanted to read another line. But he was leaving Timothy in charge, and he was giving Timothy instruction on how to stand with the true doctrine. You gave two examples, which I'm not going to tell. You gave two examples on what it is we are to look for to make sure that we are hearing the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And you also noted what Apostle Paul told Timothy on how to look for false doctrine, how to compare it, and then how to keep yourself pure so that you can always walk and preach and teach in pure doctrine. And then in my closing, you gave one part that talked about the difference that preaching does for you and teaching the true doctrine of Jesus Christ does. And that sealed the deal for me. Sealed the deal. Oh, my God.
And you got that out of your one chapter, right?
My one, thank you. Thank you. Yes, the one chapter. And I'm going to tell you something. I rattled on a little right now, Dr. Price, but you want to know why? Because I had to keep that one chapter bottled up in me. I couldn't share it with my prophets. I couldn't talk about this honor you've given me to look at your book. I couldn't share it with anyone. So it's been bottled up in me, and I was able to bring it out here this morning. Glory, glory, glory.
Wow.
I don't know.
Tell you what, you've done a great job at conveying that part, particularly when we think the mysteries. We don't think about the mysteries being the ministries or that God is taking over the ministries that pagan deities had popularized throughout the earth. He's now bringing them into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as expanding what he did in natural Israel to the worldwide Christian church. There's a whole lot for us to learn, and what that looks like, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I want to thank you. I'm telling you, so now if there was anything, any closing, because, you know, you're on fire now, and I'm going to have to kind of, you know, give you a little bit of breathing room here. But but if there's anything that you would like to say, you know, and if there is a couple of sentences, I will allow you to read two or three sentences. But if there's anything you'd like to say in closing, we definitely want to hear it, because you started out saying, I'm in Connecticut, you know, I'm an apostle, and we're dealing with this doctrine thing. We're dealing with these, you know, this divination thing. How would you want to wrap up your time with us today?
I would wrap it up with this statement here. In this one chapter, Ephesians 4 and 14, you quote, Paul warns his believers against accepting anything he did not preach or teach as God's doctrine. He let them know that there are those who use intellectual knowledge to seduce believers into defecting from Christ. He asserts that it takes maturity to discern these teachers from God's true messengers, because their tempting words allure the naive. Paul gives the Ephesians two standards by which to evaluate their doctrine, God's truth and God's love, and how both manifest Jesus Christ. He told them how to know if truth and love motivate their teachers' instruction, and if the result is that they grew up in Christ, showing more of his wisdom and less of the world they had just left, they can be trusted. Paul was justified in his concerns because Ephesus was Diana's stronghold, making his misgivings about the purity of the church's teaching quite valid. The Ephesians were steeped into Diana's lore and titillating tales of her warrior escapades. Born into it, they grew up knowing little else when it came to their religion. Wow. To me, that's it. That's it right there. Because as you teach us, Dr. Price, that we are not a church. We are not a religion. We are a nation of Jesus Christ. And in order to follow Jesus, we have to leave even our culture and our cultural values behind in order to follow him. And I wonder, with me being from this region and so many others on the line from different areas in this world, what is it that our region or our culture that we grew up in is still holding a part of us into a bondage that's not releasing us into the true gospel of Jesus Christ? And could we really recognize false doctrine if it came into our churches?
That's powerful. I want to say that is a powerful conclusion. I don't think you could have wrapped it up any better. I want to thank you for taking the time. I want to thank you for investing your time in your chapter. Hallelujah.
Thank you. I love you, Dr. Price. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll talk again very, very soon. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day now.
You too. Tyler, I know you're still on the line. Is there any particular passage or piece of the work that you'd like to leave our listeners with today as we move forward in our show?
Not one that I have ready in front of me that I've singled out, because, you know, my goodness, I just think the whole thing is just phenomenal. I will say my favorite pieces of the book that I think that people will enjoy are some of these great charts of scripture. It's very, which is shocking, because someone said to me when they first heard the title, they thought it was going to be your own personal heavenly experience about eternity, what you kind of feel eternity would be about or imagine. So they thought you were going to be taking us on some imaginative excursion into God's world, you know, based on a dream, a vision, or just whatever, a loose connection to some of your favorite verses. But this book is laden with scripture, and I love the charts. I'm in agreement with John that if you, this is literally Bible study, like you have to sit down and read this book with your Bible and really begin to go through some of these scriptures and break down these connections that were received, from how you talk about the prophet's role in the continuum, the Holy Spirit's role in the continuum, the angel's role in the continuum, which I think is one of the coolest things, okay? Not because I'm into, like, all of, you know, that scary kind of, like, angel worship. I know that is, you know, out there and, you know, kind of veering away from what Paul talked about and peering into those things. But from the standpoint of understanding how God pulls his world together and how you really do break the vain philosophy that we can be cheated with about angels in this book, by the way. So I love those pieces, because even the apostles, I was just looking at that one. Last night, the apostles' role in the continuum, you really show every major component or character, if you will, how each person plays a role in this thing and really walks, you know, us through the whole story through the Bible. This is not a vision or a dream, okay? This is us working with what we've already understood and what we've already come to believe and illuminating it to such a degree that we can now understand how God makes sense from eternity through Genesis to Revelation back to eternity. So those are my favorite chapters in this book, of course. Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 19 about Jesus Christ himself. Well, okay, and his testimony, I love that as well. So I would be remiss in not saying that you have to go all the way to the end of the book. Do not stop short. Chapter 19, the powerful conclusion. It's worth it to go to the end.
Wow, that is powerful. Well, I didn't know you even remembered all of them in the continuum. But there were we have three dark sides of the continuum. Do you remember what those are?
You said dark sides?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, well, it depends on what you consider dark sides, you know, in that classic sense. But
yes.
I know we talk about the war in heaven. You also do a piece about, you know, that struggle and Lucifer and that whole thing as well, which I know is going to end up being probably one of the many fascinating elements of this book because, well, we don't know about that.
No, we don't. And you know what else I want to talk about? You know how today we have all of this. This is my contribution to it, and then we're going to move on in our program. But you know how today we have, you know, people deciding, well, you know, I just don't believe that hell is real, and I don't think that there is a hell, and I don't think that people are going to go to hell and whatever. And when I was researching, I was surprised to find hell is in the continuum and that hell predates Earth. And
yes.
So in the same way that heaven predates Earth, so does hell. And that hell was occupied before God said, let there be light, or whatever he did here. And so we're sitting there giving people what we think, like you said, from the garden, when before the garden there was a hell. And that's a good piece for folks to read. So I think we're going to have a great time. I thank you so much, Chief Prophet Tyler Price, for being a part of the show and sharing what you know. I'm sure we'll have a couple more down the line in the months to come as we continue to crack open this book. I want to encourage you all to go to, I'll let you tell them, how can they pre-order the book, Paula?
Okay, yes, of course. Well, you know, I will talk all day about Before the Garden because, my goodness, it's just replete with too much what I call revelationary information. But how you can be privileged to some of this revelationary information that you're going to receive in this book is by texting us. You can text us. Let me make sure I got the number right, because, you know, I always lean on Prophet Adia to do these wonderful things, but I'm so excited today that I think that I can make it happen for us. But you can text us the letters, BFG, which stands for Before the Garden. You can text us BFG, include your name and your email to go ahead and pre-order the book. Now, that text number that you would use is 918-602-2123. That's 918-602-2123. Again, text the letters BFG, which stand for Before the Garden. Include your name and email, and we will make sure you get that pre-order form and are included in our pre-release. Amen? Thank
Amen.
You again, Dr. Price. I'm excited, and I hope they are too, because their lives are truly going to be revived through the Bible.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you. Prophet Ashley. Are you ready to jump in?
Well, I'm fired up, and I'm more excited now than I was before. I cannot wait to get my hands on this book so I can get my own personal breakthrough happening as well. I feel like I'm looking through the window, and I need to get in there. So I'm really excited about it. We also do have one more comment if you want me to play it from one of your other daughters who took a preview through the book.
I would love for you to do that. And then from there, we'll also go into our other announcements and get ready to take some calls. Will you do that?
Sounds like a plan.
All righty.
This is Liz Montgomery commenting on Dr. Paula Price's book, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. When I read these writings, it felt like a college semester of education on the eternal, being constantly reminded of the physical world around us and the linear nature of time. Embedding myself in this writing not only refreshed my perspective, but it educated me on the semantics of how and where my Father, God, exists. It gives new revelation to what we think it just might be like to experience the space within the realm of timelessness that the Father and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit reside. It also reminded me intellectually and with great depth how our God seeks this mysterious yet vast relationship with each one of us. How we build trust with Him through our faith and unwavering knowing of Him as best we can outside the continuum, while still the mirror is clouded. But again, it is folding yourself into this writing that opens your world to realities of another dimension. Dr. Price has so many years of experience working through the intricacies of living out her calling as a prophet of this ongoing, same yesterday, today, and forever God of ours, that reading this description and instruction she's given us is absolutely eye-opening. Thank you, Dr. Price, for writing this book. It is a truly multidimensional door to grasping the complexities of our Creator.
I wanted to take a few minutes to tell you why you want to get this course. Yes, you want to know who you are. Yes, you want to know what God sent you to do. But it is not enough to know thyself. You need to know those that the Lord has assigned to work with you, to labor with you, to understand you, to hold up your hands, and to understand that they're not just volunteers helping out, but they are fixtures. They are affixed to your commission. They are your fixtures. They're your pillars, your founders, your ground. They're your communicators, your extenders, whatever you want to call them, and it's all of that. You need someone to fit all of those capacities. And so I want you to consider using my brand new teaching, building your commission team, stage one, if you're an apostle or an apostolic minister, because it's all the same. But what distinguishes what this teaching does is not that we're telling people about their ministry. No, we're taking people who are already in ministry or who are predisposed to ministry and who are competent or show potential for competency. And we're telling them, you're assigned to not just help me preach the word or help me spread the word, you're assigned to help me establish something in the earth, build it from the ground up, or fortify it if it's already in existence, and expand it. You want a commission team is about perpetuity, not just performance. And that is what commission training is. So may I encourage you to go to my website and to click, I want this commission team. You can go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I didn't understand it. Now I know. And it's going to give you a blueprint. And then it's going to give you criteria, and it's going to give you standards, and it's going to give you protocols, but it's also going to give you some policies and procedures as well as practices. And all together, we come alongside you as you begin to identify those that God's called to help you do more than go on a mission. We want to help you identify those who are called to become fixtures of your apostleship commission, of your apostolic commission. Again, that's drpaulaprice.com or ppmglobalresources.com.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our standardized ministry assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, five-fold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments: the Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
Well, all right, we are back for the second hour of the Paula Price Show today. An amazing show indeed. If you are on the line and you want to speak with Dr. Price, go ahead and push that number one, and it'll put you in the queue. We already have some people lined up, and the texts are coming in through the line about people pre-ordering for Before the Garden. Dr. Price, things are hot, hot, hot.
Amen. Well, I'm saying amen, and thank you, Jesus. So who is my first caller? You know, I'm enthusiastic about who the first one is going to be. So, Ashley, let's get to it.
Okay, first on the line is Sharon. And Sharon has a comment for you about the book as well as a question. So, Sharon, welcome to the Paul Price Show.
Thank you. My question is, did John have the entire book? It sounded as if he did.
No, John did not. I think he had a couple of chapters. We kind of spread them out, Sharon, because we wanted to have different people give us their perspective from different angles. But no, so he did not have the whole book, but he had the whole me. We have a long relationship.
Now, what date will the book be available to us, and then I'll give my comment?
June 30th.
Okay.
Let me say this. First of all, let me go back. It'll be available June 30th in an ebook form, but if you want the paperback, that's going to be July 7th.
Okay, thanks. Now, my comment was I was greatly impacted when you asked John to conclude and you said what would be something that you would leave with the readers. And so when he started talking about chapter 10, because of where I am and what needed to take place in me, things would just change just by listening to him speak. And when he said that, you're not so much involved in my program, but I'm involved in yours and your plan, that did something for me tremendously. And I see that this work will not only be the key to what's required for me in my personal relationship with Jesus, but also in fulfilling God's purpose for my life. It's just profound, profound, profound. So much work was done just by listening to John's final comments.
Oh, thank you so much, Sharon. I really appreciate it. So, and don't forget to let us know, get, hook up for the pre-order. But is there anything else? I don't want to let you go without praying or addressing something else. But if this is it, I want to thank you for the comment. It means a lot.
Oh, well, what you could address is I'm Sharon Frazier from Chicago. I called 3 times before, and I was given very, very clear instructions. And I have not followed them. So I was calling to see if you discerned anything that would be the underlying cause or the root cause of why I can clearly know the will of God but simply will not do it.
Well, you know what? I tell you the truth, Sharon. If I had to give you an answer straight off the cuff, I would have to say, for some reason, you do not think God is going to deliver on his word. You don't think he's worth the effort. Now, if you're on Facebook, if you're one of my Facebook fans or whatever, you can go there. I addressed that in my post today. So that you'll get a chance to read it yourself and see where you're stuck, because I do address it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call as well, and thank you for all that you do for the body and for your labor of love for us. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Prophet.
I love it. You know what?
I love it.
Where Sharon is, it's like she is not alone in that. I've gotten these words. They're amazing. They're clear. But I don't do anything with them. And I think you're just your initial comment on that about, but there is a breakdown in your belief in what God will or won't or cannot do is the source of it. Because so many times we want to make those moments to be deep and do I need to roll in froth on the floor and somebody needs to cast something out of me. And although that might be true, your belief and your unbelief in who God is can be such a hindrance that you don't even realize sometimes how it shows up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're right, and that's what I addressed. You know, when we were in prayer this morning, actually the Holy Spirit said to me, actually, you know, it was really serious because it was really the Lord Jesus. He said, you know, I'm not too strong, too big to feel. I'm not too strong to be unoffended, and I'm not too far, so far away that I am unaffected by what you do. Now think about that. That's what he gave me. That's how I came out of prayer, and he said, I'm not too big. You know, because sometimes we think God is so big, we can't hurt him. He is so strong, he cannot feel our offenses. And he's so far away, what can he do? And what does it matter? And we talk ourselves into, and I don't think it's just us ourselves, I think it's also the enemy, we talk ourselves into being so insignificant to him that we do ridiculous things to him and we don't mean to, or we just blow him off and treat him like a fly that's buzzing around our head simply because. And he just let me know, but I feel. Just because you don't think I feel doesn't mean I don't. And if you ask yourself, if somebody yanks a strand of hair out of your head, Ashley, would you feel it?
Yes.
But it's only a single strand.
Oh, but that one strand is anchored into my head.
And that's what we don't get about God. Let's say we want to convince ourselves that we're insignificant. If someone yanks a strand out of your head or pulls a piece of hair out of your skin or your arm or you break your fingernail beneath the quick, below the quick, you are going to feel it. And in some cases, particularly with the fingernail issue, you could be wounded for a while and have a scar. And so if you want, as big as your body is, it feels a piece of hair, a strand of hair being yanked out of it. So we can't use that argument with God any longer, that we can just take his size and his strength and treat it as if it doesn't matter. But, you know, just because people are strong, just because they're invincible, doesn't mean they don't feel. They just learn how to pull on their strength to resolve their feelings and still go on. So anyway, do you have another caller for me?
I sure do. We have on the line Keisha from Texas, and she is calling with Strength to Endure. Keisha, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for having me, ladies.
Good afternoon, Keisha. How are you doing in Texas?
Other than it being really hot, I'm doing okay. I'm making it.
It's hot in Texas, huh?
Yeah, I'm a new resident here, so I'm still acclimating myself to the heat and the humidity. I'm originally from New York, but I moved from Atlanta, so I'm not used to being, like, really, really hot like that.
Oh, well, I can understand. Well, I'll be praying with you for the cool down. Talk to me. Tell me, how can I be a blessing to you today?
Well, first off, I just want to say congratulations to you on the new book, and I'll definitely be adding it to my library. I love the way you write. I think you're an awesome author. Right now I'm currently reading the Prophet's Handbook along with the dictionary for, you know, the definitions, so I can have the definitions of things as I go along. And that's just an awesome – it's been an awesome book for me and a blessing in my life. Basically today I would just like to ask for prayer just for endurance and my patience on waiting on God right now. A lot has been going on in my life, a lot of transition, a lot of negative things have been happening to me and my family. And so I just really, really would like to have just prayer on strength, because sometimes I feel like I just want to give up and, you know, I just want to give up. So I'm just asking really for just prayer for strength and endurance, just to wait on God until he moves, you know, in my life.
Oh, how long have you been in Texas? I mean, this transition that you've talked about, this relocation, how long has that been?
It's been, this is June, so going on 7 months.
Okay. And now the reason that I'm saying that is because I'm going to pray, but I want to give you just a little bit of counsel. When you relocate to a new place, and obviously you know if you were born in New York and then you relocated to Atlanta, but especially when you're trying to do something for God, he's changing your calling, he's, for example, in your case, developing you as a prophet. When that happens, you disturb a lot of things. You realize that. Two things happen. The comfort and the familiarity that you have established from where you were doesn't travel with you. So you have to learn the new lay of the land, spiritual and natural and political, professional, you name it. You have to learn because you're dealing with a whole new set of powers in the land. So you have to learn that. Well, when you have already left it behind, so you pretty much are unclothed as you go into that land, and you have to kind of feel your way. So that's the first thing, just the foreignness, the strangeness of it is difficult. The other thing is when God is transitioning you naturally and spiritually at the same time, it's almost like culture shock. You're like, God, what are you doing to me? You know? And transition means change, you know, changing your situation, changing where you're situated, transit. And so God is, while we're in the throes of change, we're no place. We're not where we were. We're not where we're going. So we're actually no place. That means we're in the palm of his hand. So God, right now, that's where you feel. You feel naked. You feel like I don't belong anywhere, you know?
Yes,
you feel
I
like
do.
What I need, somebody else is, the people back there can't meet that need. The people right here don't know I need. And so you're in that betwixt and between place, which is natural, particularly if you transition to a place where you did not send something ahead of you, like family members or somebody who can pave the way for you. So you're breaking ground. You're piercing the walls, you know, trying to penetrate the walls that are in front of you. That's a lot of work, and it takes time. It really does. The best thing I can tell you is that, and you may already be doing this, but for the sake of time, allow me to be redundant if it is, you want to get in the church right away. You want to connect with people who've been in that land and are established, because they can show you the way and they can kind of cut that adjustment period down quite a bit for you. You want to do that, but you also going to find out, and I know you have, that what you expected to be and what you and anticipated it to be and what you actually encountered are two different things. So you're going to have to scale down your expectations and look at things the way they are more logically, so you'll stop being resentful to God and you'll stop feeling like he tricked you.
Okay.
Because that's what happened. I know when we relocated to Tulsa, it was like horrible, you know. We knew nothing, and all of the things, you know, you have these grandiose visions. You think all of these wonderful things, you know, there's going to be a red carpet out there, and, you know, it's going to be on the red carpet here, and they're going to, you know, whisk you away. It's not going to happen. You've got to, it's almost like starting life anew. You have to plow that ground and start all over again, because except for what you brought with you, you have an Abrahamic call. Go to the place that you know not, and when you get there, I'll tell you what to do. That's God. And every day you're living off of the manna from his mouth, every single day.
Yes.
And you know, you're like, well, God, but where I was, but that's not where you were. So what you want to do, I'm going to pray for you to have that endurance, because you're right. But remember, even though prophecy comes in a second, and even though it comes from the eternal realms of God and from his everlasting mouth, when it hits time and space, it's still going to take the 24/7, 365 laws of the natural world to come to pass. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So, you know, because we do that, and prophets are notorious for it because, well, when we see things, we go to where God is. It's kind of like God calls us into his office, gives us a message, sends us out of his office and into the field to deliver that message. Well, while we're in office, that message is as real and rich and vibrant and now as it can be. We leave his office, we go and give it to the person, and we think that reality, the momentum of that heavenly reality travels with us and becomes the momentum of that natural fulfillment, and it doesn't.
Wow.
You know? And so
yeah.
That's where you are right now. You're stuck in the fact that this wealth, you heard it in heaven. God brought you in heaven. You had a wonderful dream. It was great. Everybody prayed, especially if they send you out, they lay hands on you. It's such a celebratory moment. It's all wonderful. And then you go to the land. And when you go to the land, that word that was so immediate and imminent where you were does not travel at the same speed when you get to where you're going. And so now it becomes enfolded in the natural laws, the 24/7 clock, the 31-day calendar of the world you're in. And so it takes the time it takes. Now, this may not make you feel a whole lot better in terms of your weight, but I do think that it could give you something to draw on, a resource for the patience that you must have.
Okay.
Do you find it somewhat useful for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, just what you just said, it doesn't necessarily make me feel better, but I do understand and realize where you're coming from with the message. So, I mean, I am grabbing on to the message, although mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just really hard to explain. I hate when things happen in my head that I can't articulate to a human, so.
Well, you feel like your back is against the wall. That's number one. And I see your back is, like, locked against the wall. And so here's prophecy and God taking his time, and you're like, but, hey, God, I need you to step it up. God, do you see what's happening? God, you know, and he's like, you know, he gives you these wonderful encouragements. Be still and know that I'm God. Be patient, believe, have faith, stand, withstand, hang on. You know, he gives you all of those words, and you're thinking, yeah, but do you not see that I'm stuck in a place? I need what you want me to have next month or next year today, and I don't have the grace to live through what I'm living through to get to what I need next month or next year. That's the whole essence of prophetic endurance. When you are prophetic, I'm going to say this to you, Keisha, and I will pray. When you are prophetic, the endurance that you need as a prophet is more difficult and more demanding. I don't know that difficult may be the word, but for sure I can say is more demanding than the person who isn't prophetic, because they're waiting on a hope. You're waiting on the hope that's a portrait. God has already painted the picture of your hope. You already know the picture. But he has not caused it to go live yet in your life. And because he hasn't caused it to go live, you're looking, it's almost like, wow, we got too much information, or maybe we might know too much, and that makes our wait longer. Because we feel that if God gave us this, then obviously he knows what I needed, and so we must be in his timing and all of that, and that's not why he does it. God is also developing in you the same patience that he had to have to wait for what he wants to happen the way he needs to happen, and for you to be able to coach other people in that same endurance. That is where you and God are right now. God is like, I understand all of that, but I'm making you something else. And when God calls us into ministry, We answer God on the picture in our head, not the picture in his heart. The picture in his heart, we don't get till we live it out. We go, you know, I always remember God called me to quit my job, and he said, I want you to start a church. I start a church. I'm figuring, you know, 3 months, I'm going to be like a good 100, 200 people strong. I mean, nobody knows me, but it should happen because it's God. But that's not what happened. So God is, he's really recasting vision for you. Your dreams are going to change, but also God's tone is going to change with you. He's going to use a different tongue with you because God wants you to recognize, I needed you to leave where you were so you can hear where I want you to be. So okay. I'm going to pray, but that's where he is. Father, I thank you, thank you, thank you for Keisha. I thank you for her life. God, I thank you for the love that she has for you, and I thank you for her endurance, God. And I know that when, you know, she can honestly say, when God gets through with me, I will come forth as pure gold. And God, I ask that you show her the gold, the golden glory that you have for her as she works through this situation with her family and her household, career, ministry, and most of all, God, in her private prayer closet. I see her wrestling with destiny. I see fate wrestling with destiny. I see that there's so many battles trying to cancel out what you called her to do. So I today sit in my seat of authority, and I rise up by the Spirit of the living God, and I halt this wrestle and tussle that she's having with failure and defeat, with doom and despair. I bind that, and I break it off of her today in the awesome name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I praise you because you are going to step up to her and step into her world and into her sphere to let her know what it is you're doing. So I thank you for giving her ears to hear, eyes to see, and an understanding heart. And as she goes forward and grows in you, Lord, that you let her know to be patient because the grooming period is going to take a little bit to produce the vision you have for her. God, I ask that you cause her vision not to so clash with you all that it divides you and that she gets confused and lost in the training process and lost in the transitional process. I thank you for doing it. I'm asking that you would take her to all of those scriptures in the Bible and all of those prophetic predecessors. Let her read every one of them so that she can wrap her head around the reality of what you're doing in her life. And then, God, I'm asking for one last thing, that she understands that what must be let go should be let go, and that she will not be devastated because of it, but that she will trust you to meet every need and to take her above and beyond all that she's ever asked or thought. And I bless you for doing it, God. Even as she goes back and studies Deuteronomy 8, that she understands what it is to enter your promised land and to have your promises fulfilled in her life. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
Prophet?
Yes, 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 Dr. Price. That was excellent, hearing from Keisha from Texas. Actually, you have on the line right now another one of your commentators. Jeff is available.
Excellent. Excellent. I am glad so he can share what he read. I'm especially interested in Jeff because I think he's the one person who had a chance to read the most of the book. So, Jeff, I want to thank you for joining me for a few moments. I know you only have a little bit of time, so we're not going to overtax it. What I'd like you to do is to, you know, introduce yourself to our listeners and then just share your experience with Before the Garden and also where you think it's going and how you think it's going to land when it's published.
Sure. Well, it's great to be on your program today, Dr. Price. I've known you for a long time. In particular, I've been close friends with your daughter Tala for many years now. And so it's been a great blessing to know her and to know you and to be blessed by your ministry. In general, I'm just in film and video production. I'm not in ministry myself, but you know, I've been a faithful follower of Christ for most of my life. I've had a wonderful opportunity to read not all of your new book, Before the Garden, but the first three or four chapters, and then what I believe is the final chapter of the book. My basic impressions of this, usually when I try and think about a book and how to describe something, I'm trying to nutshell it. Like, what kind of nutshell can I give to somebody that makes them go, oh, okay, I know where you're coming from. And Before the Garden as a title, I think, is a very apt descriptor of what the content is about. As I began to read the chapters, I actually found the book, the scope of what you're covering, to actually be even far greater than that. In fact, if I were to give it a subtitle, that subtitle would probably be The History of Eternity, because that's what I really think is the full scope of what you're covering here. So, yeah, a lot of it is based in going back to before the Garden, God, the Trinity, their relationship, how they established the universe, certainly how Satan, the devil, played into all that and all those dynamics. But it really, it isn't just before. It really, like I said, we're basically covering a history here. And like I said, it's basically a history of eternity. And what I found particularly interesting, particularly from a Protestant perspective, is I think a lot of times Protestants, generally speaking, are hesitant when it comes to the prophetic, unless you're so inclined, because, we've seen abuses of the prophetic quite a bit, particularly in recent history over the last several decades. And so I think when, we see a title like Before the Garden, your average Joe laity Protestant might initially just have a knee-jerk of, wait a second, all I know is there's a couple of verses at the beginning of the Bible before, in the first chapter of Genesis, and that's really their only reference, unfortunately. And so a hesitancy might be, is this just Dr. Price sitting down, claiming to have gotten, some sort of revelation that she's just, put out on these pages, but basically it's just her own revelation. And what I found particularly not only interesting, but I think validating about the book that you've written is it's not that. If anything, it's a very academic text in the sense that everything you describe, every bit of, if you will, eternal history that you go over is notated with scripture all the way throughout. And so as a reader, instead of just being asked to accept on faith a revelation that you have, quote unquote, claimed to have received, it is instead rather a prophetic discussion of scripture. And so all the way throughout, it's saying, as you essentially detail the history of eternity, in particular before the Garden, in these scriptural references, throughout the whole Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even, myself, who, like I said, have been a Christian for most of my life, it was particularly challenging to begin to see scriptures that maybe I didn't associate with revealing to me the history of eternity, but then seeing the validity of, oh, okay, all right, that scripture is talking about this and is talking about that. And so all that to say, I just really appreciated how everything was notated scripturally and that it really is academic in that sense. And yet, I don't use the term academic in a negative sense by any stretch. I use that as a way to give it validation, because on the flip side, it's not academic. It's not an academic process for me as a reader. It's very engaging. It's very fascinating. It's very thought-provoking. And so a lot of it, while very dense, it's dense in a good way, because it's not something that I can – it's not lightweight. It's not something that I can just, easily take in and absorb. I have to kind of sit, look at those scriptures that you cite, and even going through different paraphrases and so forth, and really think on these things. And that process that your writing creates in me and in my mind and in my spirit is what helps me to meditate on it, as opposed to a very simple, flat, easily digested, thing that we can all agree on anyway. And so I know I'm kind of maybe rambling at this point, but those were the initial thoughts and impressions that I got. And I don't know, it was very fascinating to see scripture reveal this history of eternity, if you will, that I think what you're laying out in this book.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Jeff, thank you very much for your, I think, finite, because I think that's how you think, and I appreciate that, a finite assessment of critique of the book. That means a lot to me. I know that you're well-read. I know that you do a lot of thinking. You yourself are a very profound thinker on so many levels. So I want to thank you for that, and no, you were not rambling. I also want to say that I took that and I used that on the back of the book, because that said more than anything, the history of eternity, because that's essentially what God wants us to know. The essence, mm-hmm. for those who are listening as well, the essence of what God wants us to know is that if it didn't happen in his world, it can't happen in this world. And if
yep.
it didn't happen to him, it can't happen to us. And oftentimes, Jeff, and I think you'll agree, people will go through experiences in life, feel things in life, and we are convinced God does not have a clue, that he's so awesome, he's so powerful, he doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know what it is to lose. He doesn't know what it is to war. He doesn't know what it is to bury children. He doesn't know what it is to have his nation torn up. We really don't know that about him, and yet all of that is in Scripture, and that is what God wanted me to focus in on when I was writing this book. This man went through, and we don't think our God went through. We think that he just came perfect, and then after that, mm-hmm. life just went on, and he's just hanging out on this great Caribbean vacation, just waiting for us to get there to wrap it all up on earth so he can enjoy us. That is not the
mm-hmm.
case. And so you helped me with that in that whole history of eternity. But if I had to ask you, what would be the statement, if you can recall, or the discussion that most impacted you that you would think our listeners would appreciate?
Oh, that's a difficult question to answer off the top of my head, just because, like I said, there's so much there to unpack. I think maybe the best takeaway, just so I can answer that question, the best takeaway I came from it is, were to, based on what we've just said, they might think, well, that sounds very intriguing. I'm very provoked to read it, but they might then wonder, but what's maybe at a deeper level the personal benefit of reading all this, other than it just being intriguing and fascinating? And I think for me, it's by going through the history of eternity and in those details of what God has gone through and has had to go through as a father, as a creator, the benefit is it helps really put God in his place, and we begin to understand at a deeper, broader level what God's place is, what his place has been, and the benefit ultimately for each of us individually of understanding that is it then puts us in our place. I know for me, as a Christian, and my growth over the years, to whatever extent I've had angst in my life, I felt, is God there? Is God listening to me? All of that ultimately, when I got to the root of it, was if I was struggling with my relationship with God or God's place, it was ultimately because I was struggling. I didn't know what my place was. And the more I've learned about God, and well, I guess to give an example, a huge impact on my life a couple of years ago was the book of Job. And we're going to talk about the history of eternity. Job, while I haven't experienced the extreme struggles that Job experienced, the struggles I was experiencing and, the cries I had to God and the bitterness I was feeling, God had to bring me to where he brought Job to, which was after Job went through all that struggle and had all those cries, ultimately God's response wasn't, it's going to be okay, here's why I allowed it to happen. His response was, where were you when I created everything? And so what God was saying was, I'm God, you're not. And you need to get on board with that, because I don't have to answer to you, Jeff. I don't have to answer to your questions. I desire to, but I don't have to. I'm God. I was there when everything was created. You weren't. And as harsh as that initial, you know, revelation and what the book of Job reveals to us, as harsh as that might sound, A, it was delivered in a spirit of love, as God's spirit is, a spirit of truth. And so it's hard to hear, but you know it's true. And then ultimately, what that did was, because it put me in my place, for the first time in my life, the yoke became easy, the burden became light. So instead of all this bitterness and all this struggle, God put me in my place in love, and in peace, and the burden of the yoke began to break. And so, all that to say, I think that's what this book, the benefit of this book is as well. As you begin to understand God's place, you then begin to understand, oh, okay, now here's my place in that. It humbles you, but then that that process of humility begins to bring peace, and it begins to break yokes, and it begins to lift burdens. And so, and then not only that, but even like what you were talking about in terms of as you really begin to consider and ponder what God as a creator and father and savior has had to go through on our behalf, and you realize that he's gone through that because of his place, instead of your heart being everything that you need from God, and God, why aren't you giving me this, and, you know, and needing some sort of sympathy or affirmation or whatever, and it's like, oh, now my, as odd as it might sound, my heart begins to break for God, mm-hmm. For the weight he's had to carry, for the rebellion he's had to put up with and endure, excuse me. And then when my heart breaks, when I begin to understand those things, then submission comes. I want to serve him better. I want to submit to him more. The desires I have suddenly start falling away. And all those feelings started bubbling up when I was reading the various chapters, because again, ultimately, I think that's what the collective, what this book is doing collectively, is putting God in his place, which then puts me in my place, and it starts changing paradigms, and it starts lifting burdens off of me, but then it starts revealing to me the burdens that God himself has been carrying, all for, ultimately, certainly for his glory, but also for our salvation. And that's a humbling, beautiful thing.
That is a very powerful, powerful assessment. I think that everyone listening is certainly touched by that, and it's so well articulated, and to the glory of God, but I think in the same way, Jeff, to our glory as a result. So I want to thank you. I'm glad that it's recorded, because my listeners can revisit this again and again and again. It's rich. We just had rich critiques today, but critiques that help people know that this is about making them better and stronger and more connected. I think better connected with God than we've ever been. And from what I've been hearing over the years, that's what people inwardly want. Can I be better connected with my God and to relate to him? And so I'm thankful, you know, to you for doing it. Thank you so very much. And again, I bless you. And everyone, go back and listen to that. I think that's very thorough. This whole show has been powerful. Go back and listen to it. But again, thank you, Jeff, and I wish you the very best.
Thank you.
And we'll talk again soon.
God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Price.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet.
Oh, yes. Jeff, he is saying it today. The texts are going off about, yes, he gets it. This guy gets it. So thank you, Jeff.
He did. He got it. I mean, he nailed that thing. I mean, and, the whole part of, you know, but putting God in his place will put us in our place. And so The inverse of that, Ashley, is that when we have God out of his place or we have God in the wrong place, then we are misplaced.
Mm.
Oh, that's powerful. I tell Selah. You, I can't wait to hear that's what I was going to say. That's a Selah word if ever I could say it. I mean, every one of them has been amazing. I think we have time for, what, a couple more calls, Ashley?
Yes, and I appreciate his comment about Job and God. You better get on board, son, with the...
I'm not get on board.
No, of course. Okay, we have next
he said,
on the
you know,
line.
Like you, when he said, Ashley, he said, you got to deal with it. You need to deal with this. I don't have to
deal with
to you. I don't have to explain anything. Just you got to deal with that.
Yes, I desire, but I don't have to now. Just understand. No, he's not. I love it. The setup was great. It's not, you know, I understand, and yes, and this is why it happened. It's, where were you? Oh,
I know.
Huh?
You
okay.
know, ironically, one of my early days with God was that passage. He was like, well, so where were you when I was creating heaven and earth? Because there was nobody around me but me and the sons of God, and even they weren't around when I started. So where were you when I did? I wasn't here, God. I don't know. I wasn't here.
And all of a sudden, you feel 3 years old.
Oh, my gosh, he can do it. Well, I tell you, Ashley, before we take our next caller, can we just agree that this has been a rich program?
Oh, yes, it has. Yes, it has. Very rich. It astounds me how much we can pack in 2 hours.
I mean, good God stuff, you know. One of the things that I love, and this is your favorite buzzword, you know, but I love this when we have a show that makes people God smart, you know. Because that's
yes.
where the church is. We're not God smart yet. We need to get God smart. But anyway, let's see if we can get a couple more calls in here today.
All right. We have on the line next Crystal. And Crystal is calling from Illinois, and she's calling for guidance in her life. Crystal, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Paula Price, for taking my call. Over the past couple of years, I've been really struggling in a lot of areas of my life. Some of those struggles kind of dealt with internal things that were going on within me that was causing a disruption in my life. And so I've been trying to deal with it as best as I could, and now I'm just at a point of feeling as if I'm losing the battles, and I just need guidance in just a lot of areas of my life.
Crystal, I want to ask you, because when you were talking about the internal struggles, it seems like there were things sown in your soul as
mm-hmm.
a child that you forgot. And
yeah.
then you became an adult, and when you became an adult, they were awakened by
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, you know, relationships, family, you know, whatever the case. And so you're literally struggling with things that were sown in you as a child. I also see some sort of childhood trauma that almost stopped your emotional maturity, you know, because you moved from growing up to fighting
mm-hmm.
through.
And
you're still fighting through. And so in your mind, all you know, even coming to Christ, you came to Christ because of being so fatigued. Your soul was weary. I just could somebody make sense out of my existence? And so what I hear the Holy Spirit saying is that he has begun a good work in you. We'll complete it until that day. And you can't rush the work. You know, it's unfortunate the things that you had to go through, but when God is delivering us, sometimes deliverance and captivity or enslaving are almost the same emotions, the same feelings, until God extracts that thing, that stronghold that's in your soul. You know, and for you, it messes with your perspective. You can be so sure of something when you first start out, and then suddenly after you make that move and look around, you're like, well, why didn't I see that? And why didn't I see this? And why did I see that? How do I keep getting this? But the Holy Spirit said this thing that he's delivering you from, it has a way of morphing in your psyche, and it blindsides you so that all of the facts are never there, but because you are always trying to settle your life, you jump ahead of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing God wants to say to you starting out the gate is slow down. Slow down. When I first started, because this is not too dissimilar from my maturity, or at least the process of, you're going to have to start sitting down when you're faced with options and opportunities. You're going to have to write all of the pros and cons out. You have to stop and make yourself do that. You cannot process it in your head alone. You have to do that. And when you can, you'll be able to weigh things more objectively, but also more detachedly, because you have to be able to detach yourself from situations and circumstances because of the things that God is ridding your soul of. You see what I'm trying to tell you?
Yes,
you
ma'am.
You have to take your time, beloved. You can't let people push you. You can't. You're the woman that the man is going to say, buy this car today, sign today, and you're going to have to be the one to say no and walk away. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because you and God have to come up with a new way to process your decisions and a new way to determine your actions. That's where God is with you.
Okay.
And the reason he needs you to do this has a great deal to do with how he wants you to learn to render judgments in the future. You know, I tell everybody when I'm praying for them and counseling them, your trials and trip-ups directly correlate to your calling. So if you start thinking about all of the places you get tripped up and you flip that thing, you're going to get a clue to your destiny. Especially repetitive things, like I just keep going through this, or this cycle keeps happening. So I'm going to pray, but I just want you to understand that you are in the throes of deliverance, and that's why you feel icky. Because God is purging. You are literally, I'm looking at you, and you're laid up on the altar, and the altar is fluctuating between an altar and an operating table and then an altar, and I see Jesus literally standing over you with his hands in your soul, repairing and renovating you for what he called you to do. And it's uncomfortable. But you are going to be excited. So God said, if you just allow me to finish what I'm doing, and he said, it's taking a long time because you dig your heels won't go forward when he wants you to. So it's taking longer than you want it to be or even than he desires. But here's what he's saying. Give me 3 months to finish this thing. I'm renovating you.
Okay.
He said, give me 3 months. Now, that means you're going to have to pray, you're going to have to hold on, you're going to have to play this recording again and again. He said, but give me 3 months, and the thing that I told you I would deliver you from will be through. And the hard part about when God answers our prayers, because we think he's magic, we think that all he has to do is snap his fingers. But there are some things, my beloved, that can so fuse with our souls that he has to do that finite laser surgery to separate that joint and marrow division to set us free. You are in joint and marrow surgery right now. And it's yucky. Isn't it yucky?
It is.
It's yucky. You have days that you're happy as you can be, and other days you're mean. You don't even know where the mean spirit came from. Wow, but what is that?
Right.
And you go home and you say, that didn't warrant that. What is going on? You have days that you are just singing praise to God, and then you're in a corner crying at the middle of the night. What is that? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have days that you feel like you cannot get enough of God, and then, you know, the next day, please, I don't want to hear that religious stuff. Just leave me alone. That's the throes of deliverance. God is literally converting you. Like he said to Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen your brother. God's converting you to him. And not a lot of people get that in their Christian walk. But those who are meant to be converters go through the agonies of conversion. And it's agonizing right now for you. And I know because I can say I'm bending, and that's why you think you're losing a battle. You're not losing a battle. You're losing the reason you can't win. That's what you are. You know, the battle is the Lord, so you already got the victory there, but you're losing the reason that you can't see his victories, that you can't enter into his victories. Because you have all of these ghosts in your mind and these second guessing and third guessing, and then don't you remember, and then the last time, and don't you know, and see, I understand that. But all of that part of the purging, thank God for the blood of the Lamb. That's the purging of the blood. They call, God calls that the washing of the regeneration of his word. You get in his Bible, you start playing that thing around the clock, I'm telling you, you'll expedite the process.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, so you're going to be all right. You're going to, hey, trust me, you will be okay, because God said, I've begun a good work in you, I'm going to complete it against that day. God is going to finish this thing. Now, when you stepped out on that last obedience that he told you, you know, God blindsided you a little bit himself. He just told you to step out. He didn't let you know what you were stepping on, but that's okay.
Right.
Because, you know, he does that. He does that at times. He would say, go. And you're so excited. Ooh, the Lord talking to me. Yay, Jesus, I'm gone. You go tear up your house, sell everything, and go out. And you just know you're moving from a big house to a huge house. And then he says, oh, by the way, you're going to be in this one room. Now, God, you did not say that. You did not tell me that. But guess what? He so loves you, dear. He loves you so much, and he enjoys you. One of the things that you're going to have, to me, over the next 5 years is you're going to begin to have fun with God no matter what he does. Because he is an amazing, amazing being. God's an amazing person. And it's unfortunate that we lose all of that because we misconstrue what he's doing in our life and because we are so programmed to panic whenever he does anything up close and personal, that we just misjudge his actions. So you're going to have fun. I'm going to pray because you're going to have a great time with the Lord. Father, we love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. We thank you, Holy Father, for being our God, for being our Savior, for sending our Savior to save us and for entrusting us to his care. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who continues to work your word, your will, and your righteousness in us, that we may be conformed to your good pleasure. I thank you for Crystal. I thank you for lifting her up, God. I thank you for finishing what you started. I thank you for using her as a great woman of God. I thank you for the high places that she's going to walk. I thank you for the places that she's going to stand in your name. I thank you that she's going to be a mighty warrior for you, God, and an awesome mouthpiece for you. I thank you, God, that as she goes through this process, no matter how much it looked like the valley of the shadow of death is still only a shadow, and that she shall live and not die. She will rise and not fall. She will stand and not stumble. She will run and soar and not collapse. I thank you that you're breathing life into her. Even as I speak, the life of the Almighty, the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost is being breathed into you right now. God, I break your yoke on her life. I separate her from the heinous past. I separate her from the assaults and abuses and the onslaughts of her life. Even the haunts that she has from childhood, the haunts she has from decisions she wished she hadn't made, the haunts she has from relationships she wished she hadn't entered. God, I cut off her path today, and I cut off her path today in the name of Jesus. I shake your soul free. I disengage you from death. I disengage you from destruction. I disengage you from devastation. I put you in your right place in God. I lock you in place by the Holy Ghost. I establish you in the ranks of the Almighty. I establish you in the sphere of God, and I cause you to be transformed. I don't care how you scream. I don't care how you whine. God said, I'm going to finish this. So, God, I thank you for doing a quick work in her soul, but strengthening her every day with the grace to go to her next level of deliverance, her next level of healing, and then her next level and full, complete restoration in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, woman of God. Be free, woman of God. Be delivered, 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 woman of God. Be delivered. Be delivered. And don't go back. Don't go back. We shut every old door behind you. And we push you forward into destiny. We lock you into destiny. You will fulfill purpose. I command this grave cloth to loose you and let you go free. I command sadness and depression to loose you and let you go free. I put the joy of the Lord on you. I clothe you with the robe of righteousness, the robe of gladness, that you may stand, having done all the stand, and that you'll see the glories of God, and you'll appreciate your salvation instead of bemoaning the cost it takes to be as great as God's going to make you.
Yes.
Donde deje cotón roca banana poleta acopino. Be cleansed. Be cursed. Be healed. Be revived. Be invigorated. Be renewed. Be renovated, says the Holy Ghost. Today, says God. Today. Now, Lord, we thank you for holding her in your arms, wrapping her in your arms, and loving on her real good so she knows that you are her dad and she is your daughter and that you've watched her devastation long enough and now it's time for her to be free. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Holly, you're welcome. We're turning you over to the Holy Ghost. We'll talk another time. God bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ashley, is God good or what?
My Lord, I'm shouting in my room. Wow.
He's a sugar pie. Well,
we're going there right now. We're going there.
Oh, but you know what? When God gets ready, God is ready, and you
Jesus.
Can't stop him. Well, girl, did we have a show today or what?
Yes, I am rocking in my seat. That was good. Wow.
Oh, he's a sugar pie Jesus, and I love him,
yes,
and he loves his family, and God is taking good care of us. Well, we're coming down to the end, Ashley. We had a great time. We had just about all of our guests come on and talk about Before the Garden. I'm sure that in the few weeks after its release, we're going to have more. Those of you who are interested in the pre-ordering, don't forget to text the BFG number that she gave you, 918-602-2123. You're going to love it. Let us know. I want this pre-order. And if you want to be part of the people who are going to read the book and give us a review, do that. We're going to have a place on my site where you can go and say, I read it, and we're going to have a click a button, write a review, so you can tell us what you think about Before the Garden and what it does with you. Now, I'm telling you, when you read this book, God is going to visit you. He's going to talk with you because he wants you to understand his world, because his world is coming closer to this world than it's been in eons. So it's going to be a great season for the church, Ashley, and I love it. I love knowing that it's going to be a great season for the church. Before I go, I only have a couple of minutes. So I want to say this. I do want to ask you to become a partner, to become my partner. And don't just think that when you partner with me, it's only about this Thursday show. No, it's about me being able to do what I did, to come off the scene and write books like Before the Garden, of complete classrooms and complete classes and studies. You know, for me to write this book, I had to come off the scene, which means a lot of revenue that I would have had having to travel, I didn't have. So when you sold to me, you enabled me to completely get out of my spirit everything God wants. And I'm not saying this to you and not delivering fruit. You can see when you read this book, you'll know what it cost me. You'll know why it was needful. Many of you have the Prophet's Dictionary and the Prophet's Handbook. You know what it costs. Those of you who's read Eternity's General, you got it. So when you sold to me, when you sold to the Paula Price Show or Paula Price Ministries, you are literally taking me from being too busy to deliver by creating an ability for me to retreat and deliver. Right now, I'm begging God for a retreat. That was a big push. So I'm telling you, when you sow and become a partner, you help me get into the earth, birth into the earth, that which God has decreed. So go to my site and find out how to sow to Paula Price, not just for the Paula Price Show, but for everything that I produce as God's messenger and minister in this era. So God bless you. We'll talk next week. And until then, be blessed and order your book.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.